part of our American history, tradition, and our values. Rural agriculture has been and will continue to be economically vital and culturally significant throughout Montana. For this year's National Future Farmers of America Week, we chatted with some of our state's future leaders, along with the FFA's 2021-22 Western Region Vice President Josiah Cruikshank about all things ag. Along with Vice President Cruikshank, Tom is joined by a number of Montana FFA's finest, including Sydney Kirsten, Joe Lackman, Colton Young, and Danny Horan. It's an hour of all things ag as they discuss their Montana roots, how they got them involved with the FFA, some of the work they've been involved with, and a whole lot more in this edition of the Voices of Montana podcast.
I'm going to kind of get, there's a number of them here, and this will be fun. Let me first introduce who is here as a special guest. It's Josiah Cruikshanks. He is the 2021-2022 National FFA Western Region Vice President here in Montana from Oregon. How you doing, Josiah?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me, sir.
Yeah, thank you for being here. And if you call me sir, I'm going to... I'm you throw me off already.
Yeah. I spent too much time in the South lately.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, that's a natural thing there. Yeah, thank you for being here. I also want to introduce just to say hi. That's Danny Horan, right, from Moore, Montana.
Yep, Horn.
Horn. Horn. Yes, thank you very much. Yeah. And she is the second vice president. And Sydney Kirsten is also in studio from Baker. We got an affiliate in Baker. Good morning, Sydney.
Yes, good morning. Hello.
You want to say hello to everybody at KFLN Radio Land?
Yes, hello.
Of course you do. And she's the parliamentarian, which I wish I was, because, you know, when you get and you watch CNN or you watch C-SPAN or you go to the Capitol and people are doing these parliamentarian things that just confuse the heck out of me. Does it make sense to you?
Honestly, before this year, I never really understood parliamentary procedure, but... during state training for state officers, we definitely learned a lot about it. So now I think I have a basic understanding of how everything works.
And I think it's necessary. I've been involved in government for a while, too. And that those procedures are necessary for decorum, aren't they?
Yes, definitely. It's really important.
So, Josiah, thank you for being here. I appreciate that. What are you doing? What are your travels all about?
Yeah, so this week, the National FFA Officer Team, there's six of us that are National FFA Officers, are getting to travel around the United States. We're each going to two different states and engaging with FFA members there for National FFA Week. And this is 7 days that we set aside to celebrate what FFA does 365 days of the year. And it's a privilege to be visiting here in Montana. Before this, I spent the first half of my week in Nebraska. And so it's great to meet FFA members starting in Missoula. We had a leadership conference where they came from around the region to the Missoula High School Ag Center, where we got to engage there, and then got to go to Belgrade yesterday. And then after this, I get to go over to Park City and engage with some FFA members from the Billings area there.
That'll be real cool. Yeah. What are you taking away from those trips?
Yeah. Thankful to see FFA members live and in person. We were elected at the National FFA Convention at the end of October, and that was the first in-person National FFA Convention in 2 years. FFA is proud to be back and better than ever. We had 60,000 students that showed up in Indianapolis, Indiana for that.
What?
Yes, it was really cool to see all the blue jackets in one room. We all got to be back together for the first time, like a giant family reunion with our extended family, and got to be elected there. And since then, we've been training. But our first, like, almost 3 months of our national officer year is not spent heavily with FFA members. We get trained on how to engage with the media. We get trained on how to give keynotes and workshops. And so it's a privilege to finally be out on the road. This is my first time away from my five teammates, and I miss them a lot. If they're listening, I miss them a lot. But it's a privilege to be able to divide and conquer as we engage with FFA members from 12 different states this week. We'll be going to even more states, hoping to reach 735,038 FFA members in all 50 states, Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands by the time that we're done with our year.
Does that mission kind of just floor you a little bit, the 738,000 FFA members?
Yeah, it does. In fact, I'm wearing my FFA jacket right now. On the inside of the emblem that's over my heart right here, I wrote 735,037 because I'm one of those members.
There and you so go.
Those are the members that we've been elected to serve. Hopefully everything that we do is to help make their lives better this year.
How important is this right now, this mission that you're on?
Yeah, it's very important to me. So I think back to my involvement in FFA and what got me started here. And after I share, I want to give the state officers hear Danny and Sydney a chance to share what FFA means to them.
Good lead. Lead on, dude.
For me, at the 1994 state convention, way before my time, my dad, Scott Cruikshank, was the retiring Oregon FFA state president. And there was some dramatic music playing, if any of us have been to a state convention. And the new state officer team was getting elected and running on stage. And the state reporter's name was called. And the goal was for her to run to the stage, him to give her a hug, say congratulations, and send her backstage. But according to him, she was really attractive. And so he messed up his words. And as he gave her a hug, he said, "I love you." And that's how my parents met. And so what, based on that, FFA means a lot to me because it's the reason I exist. FFA brings people together in an incredible way. And it brought my parents together. I don't think it just brings people together for relationships. I'm thankful for the friends that I've met in FFA, but I'm really passionate about students being able to meet like-minded students, maybe from outside of their area. I didn't get a chance to travel a ton while I was growing up, but in FFA, I got a chance to go to Washington, D.C. multiple times to learn about advocacy at our nation's capital. I got a chance to use those skills around our nation, around my state of Oregon as a state officer there first. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to connect students with each other and to connect with those students as a national officer. With that, what does FFA mean to the state officers in the room?
Danny.
Yeah, for me, FFA has done a lot. It's definitely helped with confidence, especially when doing public speaking events. And I wouldn't be standing here today if I wasn't in FFA. And definitely the connections for me, that means so much, especially at a state level and being a state officer, getting to go and make connections with those members and hear their stories because it's so diverse. Not everybody comes from an agricultural background that is in FFA. So getting to see that diversity and hearing people's stories, that probably means the most to me with FFA.
Go ahead, Sydney, your impressions of why you're doing this.
Yeah, definitely. I think that one of the main reasons that I got involved with FFA was definitely my dad. It was kind of genetic at that point. He was an advisor for quite a few years when I was younger. So I remember taking part in FFA week and doing those pancake breakfasts for all the teachers every Friday before I could even join FFA or be in an ag class. And we always did animals at fair. We had rabbits, we had pigs, we had all sorts of different animals, and I love taking them to fair. So mine is kind of agricultural based. I love the animals and then the crops side of it. Yeah.
I'm going to get to the questions a bit later on that are more maybe esoteric about what is the future for farmers in America. But I want to talk a little more about the camaraderie that goes on. We just heard from Sydney Kirsten from the Baker chapter. She's the parliamentarian for the Montana FFA. Second vice president also in studio, Danny Horn. She is from Moore, the Moore chapter. And also the Western Region vice president, Josiah Cruikshank here. We have others that we'll get to in a moment too. But Josiah, why don't you lead out on this one? The camaraderie, I think, with FFA seems to be like really few other organizations out there, especially youth organizations.
Yes, sir. I think that in a world where a lot of people are being told to look internally for their source of purpose, that students are realizing that they need to be a part of something bigger than themselves. And FFA provides students an opportunity to be a part of something bigger than themselves, to believe and work towards something that's greater than just what is internal within them. And students can gather around these core tenets of premier leadership, personal growth, and career success being provided to high school students around our nation through agricultural education.
Run past over those career those tenets again that you just mentioned.
Yeah, premier leadership, personal growth, and career success. And we hope that in FFA, everything we do funnels into one of those three things. So as we get opportunities to speak with FFA members and we have competitions in public speaking, we're providing them with opportunities to become leaders. And as we form relationships with other FFA members, hopefully we can grow personally as well. And we want to create the future of our talent pipeline to solve maybe some of the labor workforce issues that agriculturalists are facing in our area. And that is where we provide students with career success. That way they can be the future of agriculture.
I want to, you know, we'll get to the, that's another big one too, those labor force issues. It seems like there's a lot of challenges, but those are also, you can redefine that as opportunities for, yes. You know, our future farmers of America. Sydney, or Danny, you got the mic now. I want to have you comment on that as well. What has being a member of this organization at this point, you know, as you talked about the leadership and the growth, but the camaraderie, what has it meant for you?
It's been a lot.
personally, so we just recently had a national officer from my chapter, and just getting to see that growth and seeing that development in people and seeing that success, because being from a small town, you don't really see a national officer get elected. I graduated with 8 kids in my class, and I think for her is right around 12, and that was Mamie Hurdle. And she was sitting there, and we have good conversations about it, and just seeing how far you can come, not only from a large community, but also having a small community that backs you up, especially in Montana. It means so much to you.
Why don't you go ahead, Cindy? You're shaking your head there. Follow up.
Okay. Yes, definitely. I think being from a small community, it definitely, you see the support from everybody. Like when I was running for a state office and I was getting ready for state, I was the only person from my chapter that actually ended up going to state other than my little sister that went along with me. But just the support that I got from everybody was absolutely phenomenal. I had people stopping me, and then we went up again for chapter visits a couple weeks ago, and we had sat down for breakfast. Joe and I are state president. We had sat down, and somebody had recognized our jackets from us, and they were like, oh, you're Sydney Kirsten. Yep.
Yeah, I know. That camaraderie at this level leads to what next, Josiah?
Well, our hope is that as students are able to have that camaraderie with each other and are able to form relationships with each other, that all of that funnels into them accomplishing our mission. And hopefully those relationships help propel each other forward towards that premier leadership, personal growth, and career success.
We've got about, a minute and a half in this one. I want to talk a little bit and set this up for the next segment too, the growth of the FFA. In Montana, I think Taylor was telling me, Taylor Brown, our president for Northern Broadcasting System, was saying just a few years ago, 76 chapters in Montana kind of froze there. And then maybe, I don't know, the light went on or the organization came about, and we've got more growth in Montana. I think Taylor was saying now up to about 100. How does that encourage you?
It's very encouraging to see the growth in our FFA members, to have 100 FFA chapters in the state of Montana. That's awesome to think about.
Did we beat Oregon?
Not yet, oh. No. Oregon has about 130.
Okay, get to work, ladies.
we still have that flex. But it's cool to see not just the growth that our organization has had, but to think about the opportunities that those 100 chapters in Montana represent to FFA members at each of them. And we're thankful for the opportunity to provide that as widely as possible.
Well, I'm going to have you guys come back to. We got a breakup coming here to talk about some of those personal stories as well. You know, what has shaped you as a future farmer of America leading into this organization? And then on the other side of that as well, there's a lot of challenges, not just facing our production community, but the world as well. So we're back with more in a bit.
At American National, what's important to you is important to us. Just like every horse is unique, so is our equine coverage. American National's Equine Owner's Insurance is designed to address the inherent risks involved with owning horses. Flexible enough to provide property and liability coverage for operations of various sizes, yet can be tailored for your specific needs. We're right by your side. For more information, just visit an.insure/northwest. American National Property and Casualty Company and Affiliates, Springfield, Missouri.
Hey, show me that number again, all right? It's on the back of your jacket. FFA membership world across the United States, 735,037, all right? And hopefully by the end of the show here, that number grows too. That's encouraging. We are talking about FFA. It is National FFA Week. That's a lot of membership across the country. It has grown. Josiah Cruikshank is with us, National FFA leader, Western Region Vice President, and also in studio we've got Sydney Kirsten from Baker. She is the parliamentarian. Second Vice President is Danny Horn from Moore, Montana, and we have others coming as well. We'll talk to Colton Young here shortly and Joe Lackman. But let's go back to this. Let's get into it. Well, I'm sorry. I want to talk about issues too, because those are important for us. But Danny, why don't you give us your background in agriculture and growing up in a production industry?
Oh, yeah, for sure. So I grew up on a farm and ranch just outside of Moore, Montana, and we raise Angus cattle. My side, actually, for my supervised agricultural experience through FFA, I have my own herd of Simmental cattle. Love them because of their big ears. But we also did a lot of things with winter wheat and spring wheat. So I got to be on the farm and working on that and drive a combine every August. Definitely had to work with that through sports and things like that. But that's kind of my background. It's helped me so much. And I love my animals. Also have some horses that I've gotten to share my experience with through that, through not only FFA, but 4-H too.
Sydney, and you too, growing up in a production or in that farming families.
Yeah, definitely. So when I was younger, we actually lived in Bozeman, Montana. So that wasn't necessarily a rural area, definitely. We were kind of in the city and the suburbs portion of it. But we still did 4-H and things like that. So we bred our own pigs and things like that. We actually kept them at a friend's house for many years. And we would ride our bikes there every morning and every night to feed them and to walk them, get them prepped for fair. And that was actually became my SAE project, was breeding market pigs for fairs. And we would sell them, and we still do a little bit. I haven't been able to go back quite as much this past year. But we sell them to local 4-H and FFA kids. And then some of them are a little bit farther away. We actually had some come up to the Big Sky Fair recently, so the Bozeman Fair. And we do Berkshire crosses. So it's a fun time. And honestly, I would not change it for anything in the world.
And to kind of frame up what our state officers have shared with us with their supervised agricultural experiences, those represent an opportunity for our members to get involved in the agricultural industry. In FFA, in our motto, our first line says learning to do. And we believe in learning about agriculture. But our second line comes back around and says that we believe in doing to learn. And so our members are able to take the things that they're learning in class. We have what's called a three-component model of agricultural education. The first component is what they're learning in class. It's classroom instruction. Then they take it to our second component, which is supervised agricultural experiences. And that's where our FFA advisors, our ag teachers, encourage them to go outside of class if they're going to be involved in agricultural education and apply what they're learning in their classroom materials to a project outside of class. So for me, I got some market hogs and was able to raise those for county fair through my FFA experience. But for some members, they didn't grow up on a production ag operation, and they have opportunities to get involved in supervised agricultural experiences as well. A couple days ago, I was visiting the Omaha, Nebraska FFA chapter. They're one of our urban ag programs, and they don't have land. A lot of their regulations don't allow them to raise animals at their houses. And even they are able to get involved in supervised agricultural experiences, even if they look different than the supervised agricultural experiences of some of our state officers here in Montana. I got to see students that were, they had a greenhouse at their school, and they were coming together to grow plants, sell them, make a profit, and get that real world experience as they not only learn to do, but also do to learn.
What is your background? What was your favorite job, and what was your least favorite job growing up?
My favorite job and my least favorite job. I had two supervised agricultural experiences that were really foundational for me. My favorite one was raising market hogs for county fair. My three little sisters, who are FFA members now, still do that. Really special thing for me that it'll always hold a special place in my heart. I also got to work at a local frozen yogurt shop. And I started off in high school as just a machine cleaner. And then eventually they let me work at the cash register. Finally, I became the general manager of one of their locations and got to work with dairies in the Central Oregon area as we sourced milk products to serve to customers of the frozen yogurt shop. And so that's a little bit of my background, my supervised agricultural experiences when I was involved in FFA.
And a way to avoid that other one, too. You know, I like to ask that question about, you know, what's your least favorite job? Because in every job, it's going to be a love-hate sort of thing at times. And I asked that of the Attorney General, Austin Knudsen, who's an FFA member out of the Culberton area. And he, you know, you generally get those stories about, well, it's the time I had to shovel out the manure because, we were in trouble for something. That to lead into the values that that you learn growing up. And I'm just going to switch to you, Danny, because let's see, what do we got here? News break. Okay, we'll come on back. And then I've got those other questions, too, about what kind of future are you looking to shape as future farmers of America. We'll take time out and come on back with more. Josiah Cruikshank. I'm going to give everybody here a shout out. Sydney Kirsten is with us, Baker Chapter. We've got Danny Horn as well, second vice president. Colton Young is in studio from the Stillwater Valley chapter. And then also Joe Lackman from the Forsyth chapter from Hysham. So we're back with more after these headlines from Brian Bennett.
For over 120 years, the University of Montana has produced meaningful solutions for complex problems. That commitment is in our charter, and that passion is in our students. It's why Grizzlies are tackling everything from fish to fire, supply chains to cattle, and water to elk management. It's why we consider the entire state our campus. Understanding the needs of Montana so that we can sustain our favorite place is at the heart of every UM Grizzly. Visit umt.edu. Up with Montana.
A little bit of blue in the studio here today. It's a lovely blue. It's FFA blue, and welcome back. From Montana for Montana's Voices of Montana, National FFA Week, and we have a Western Region Vice President for the National FFA, Josiah Cruikshank. He's from Oregon, a junior, a major is business and mechanical. We also have in studio, as I mentioned, quite a host of people. Let's go before I run out of time in this segment as well. Danny Horn is with us from the Moore chapter, and then parliamentarian Sydney Kirsten is with us too from Baker. Danny, you've got the mic. I'm gonna ask you that question about what kind of future are you shaping for farmers and for our country?
So something that FFA has taught me is hard work and dedication. And I think that's two skills that are really important for people all across the world to have. And just having that opportunity to share that with people, and not only through FFA, but while I'm going to college at Montana State University.
What?
Yeah, crazy, right? Yeah. Studying pre-med biochemistry. I hope to be a pediatrician in the future. So just looking into the future and showing people that there's so much more. It's honestly pretty bright to me, at least, because there's a lot of people not only coming from FFA, but through schools. There's so many people that have that dedication and hard work and a good perspective of the world.
Oh, I love that. And you need to have that perspective. You got to be a bit of an optimist if you're going to go out there and be in, I think, production, in the production industry, because it's almost all in at times. Sydney, what kind of a future are you looking to shape for the future farmers of America?
Yeah, definitely. I think FFA has definitely helped me, kind of similar to what Danny says, where it taught me a lot about dedication, and especially this last year with state office, it was setting time aside just to sit and think about what I have done in the past year and just think about the opportunities that I've gotten because of state office. And I think I am actually not in college this year, unlike some of the other state officers. Nowhere in Montana offers my program, so I'll be heading down to Arizona State this next year or within the next couple of years for mortuary science degree.
Yeah.
Yep, definitely. So I think just that dedication that you get because of FFA and that drive that people have now because of being an FFA. Definitely.
What are some of those challenges that you think our future farmers are facing even now or into tomorrow? And how do you tackle those?
Yeah, I think definitely with this last year, especially with all the droughts and everything like that, it was very difficult with crops, and then prices because of that definitely spiked quite a bit in the past year. So I think there is quite a bit of struggle right now in the moment, but I feel like just the amount of dedication that we were talking about because of not necessarily FFA, but just being in the ag industry, people will be able to get out of it.
Danny, I'm going to have you answer that question too. What are some of those challenges as you see right now that you're ready to tackle as a future farmer?
You know, there's a lot of challenges in the agricultural industry. There has been for the longest time, but just the community and the involvement. There's so many people that support us, whether we're farmers and ranchers or not even necessarily in that agricultural background, but being from a small town community or large, there's so many people that back behind us. So looking forward in that future, it's very promising to know that we have those people that support us.
Well, and we're going to explore that in more detail too, Josiah. You're going to be with us through this next break here. Josiah is the, as I mentioned, National FFA Western Region Vice President. He's going to torture a couple of other kids from Montana. I shouldn't call you kids, young men and young women. Colton Young is going to step in next, Joel Ackman as well. But my thanks to Cindy and Danny. Thank you guys for coming in here, and thank you for picking up the mantle of leadership in this country. It's needed. All right, back with more in a bit.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
Farmers, ranchers, and private landowners, do you have a farming or grazing lease permit or allotment that contains inaccessible public lands? Through unlocking public lands and public access land agreements, Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks works with landowners to incentivize them to provide public access to inaccessible public lands in exchange for an annual payment and other improvements. Agreements can be tailored to fit the needs of landowners, including when, where, and how public access is granted. FWP.MT.gov/landowner.
National FFA Week, and we have one of the national leaders here, Josiah Cruikshank, National FFA Western Region Vice President, on a tour of many states and here in Montana. And now in studio, Colton Young from Absaroka, the Stillwater chapter there, the Montana FFA First Vice President. Colton, you got the mic. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Hanging in there. And Joe Lackman, too, is with us from Hysham, Montana. I spent a little time in Hysham, Montana myself.
You know, there. It's not all too bad a place.
I know it. I like it. But it's Forsyth chapter, and Joe is the Montana FFA state president. Thank you for being here.
All right. You're welcome. Thanks for having us.
All right, Josiah, I want to get some of your background here, too. But I want to pull you back in here because as a Western Region vice president and a leader, what are like those issues that you talked about agriculture is facing on a very serious level? What do you think the youth of America will bring to the table in some of those solutions?
Yeah, there are a lot of issues, a lot more than we have time to talk about today. But one of the biggest ones that National FFA is really passionate about right now is all of us in the agriculture industry are facing labor shortages. And we're all seeing the effect of those labor shortages, some of us more than others. But FFA is committed to providing a talent pipeline of skilled workers to fill those gaps in our labor workforce right now. And as we do that, we look forward to creating the future of agriculture. We also look forward to providing our members with career success as they find fulfilling careers that will be able to support them for years to come. And what we're doing to do that is right now we have our FFA strategic plan, and the six national officers sit on the FFA board of directors. We just had a board meeting where we approved the strategic plan. And it has three pillars. We want to evolve our programs to keep up with a changing agricultural industry. That means all of the competitions, all of the events, even the supervised agricultural experiences recognition that students receive, that's going to continue to evolve so that way our industry is best served by our students in that talent pipeline. And we're working with partners from industry to do that. We want to engage all students, no matter their background, their beliefs, their identity. There's room in the agriculture industry for everyone, and we need to fill that room with everyone. And so we realize that whether a student comes from a traditional ag background, whether they don't, we want them to have space in our organization to learn about agriculture, to become the future of agriculture. And then finally, we want to empower the people who deliver agricultural education on a local level. We realize that there's 105 national FFA employees. There's six national officers. We got state officers in all 50 states, Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands. But that's not enough. We want to make sure our agriculture educators in the classroom are given the resources they need. Our state staff is given the resources that they need. So evolve, engage, empower the initiatives that National FFA is taking to solve that pressing issue. But before we go too much further, I do want to hear kind of the background from our state officers here in the room.
Yeah, go ahead, Joe. What was it that you did growing up that leads you to seek a future in agriculture?
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to grow up on a small irrigated farm in Hysham, Montana. And this was a place where my parents' family farm, we've grown sugar beets, alfalfa seed, canola, a variety of crops, barley, winter wheat, etc. And it was something that at a young age, I grew up with a passion for agriculture, you know, and the specifically that production side.
You liked it. You liked getting out in the dirt then, didn't you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was a hands-on, you know, application of, I would say, the talents that I've learned, the values that I learned growing up in a small community. But more specifically, once I got into FFA, I was able to develop a supervised agriculture experience with that. So I actually started off as a leaf cutter bee pollinator for alfalfa seed. And that was something that was pretty interesting to myself, as my family has never kind of been in that type of situation. But I learned a lot from my cousin. And from there, I was actually able to expand and grow into the production side of my SAE, where I looked into omega-3 canola, and I actually put leafcutter bees out and pollinated that. I also have grown sunflowers and corn this past year, salvage corn. So some very cool things that I was able to be a part of, and I'm just fortunate enough to be in production agriculture and translate that also into my FFA experience as well.
Nice. Colton Young?
Yep. I grew up a little more on the ranching side in the big city of Nye, Montana. I was born there. My father managed a ranch. He ran a couple hundred head of Black Angus cows. Growing up on the ranch, it was absolutely amazing. You know, out of the town, just in the mountains, in the Rocky Mountains there, and absolutely loved it, all the opportunities that came along with that. Then when I started getting a little older and into high school, we actually moved to Absarokee, Montana. My dad started helping my grandpa with his auction business full time. So I've been an auctioneer ever since I was 2 years old, been around the business. So that was my supervised agriculture experience, just with the auctioneer company. We do farm, ranch, real estate, you name it, we sell it. And so just growing up around that with the public, just the public speaking and being at the communication level, it's been super amazing to be a part of that. And that's helped me become a state officer who I am, just helping with that communication, getting my foot in the door and those opportunities that come along with that.
Josiah, I want to talk now about, as you guys had mentioned a little bit earlier, and you said ag education, equipping our ag educators. So what and then give some shout outs there too, because I know the ones who do this do it for the love of the students, the education, agriculture, not to overlook the values, I think, that it teaches. They're important to lifelong lessons. Ag educators, what kind of resources do they need?
Yeah, our agricultural educators are some of the best of our organization. They're the people who are really working on the front line of our effort to equip students with premier leadership, personal growth, and career success, and to change their lives through agricultural education. I think back to my home state of Oregon. This last year, there were three positions in agricultural education out of a couple hundred that went unfilled, because just like our labor shortages in the agriculture industry at large, there are also labor shortages within agricultural education. And that represents three classes of students, three schools potentially, that don't have that person to provide them with that experience in FFA. And so right now we are trying to support the agricultural educators we have. We're trying to retain the educators we have, and then also recruit new ones. So that way we can have a future as an organization. We realize that they're some of the most important people in carrying out our mission as FFA members. And yeah.
Ag educators. You three are ag educators, right?
We are. We're not professional ag educators, yeah. But maybe we will be one day.
Yeah. Colton, shout outs for ag educators that have led you here.
Yep. Awesome. So I actually had two ag teachers growing up. I started, our school in Absarokee had a junior high FFA program. So I started in seventh grade with Mr. Tim Zumbrin. And he is one of the biggest mentors I've ever looked up to in my entire life. Served in the military for numerous years and was our ag teacher at school for 20 plus years, and also served as principal. But he got me hooked at a really young age. You know, he had all those resources from a lot of experiences in his life. And he just got me started in whatever I wanted to do. He raised the bar one more and just helped me push me to that new level. And so I really give a huge shout out to him for getting me started, getting me involved. And then my junior year, Mr. Rob Yates took over in Absarokee, and he has helped me get my foot in the door for so many opportunities, especially starting to get older and preparing for college and preparing for a state office. He helped me along those ways and just gave me that that encouragement and just the confidence in myself to pursue those goals and pursue my challenges that are ahead of me.
Really cool. That's Colton Young, Absarokee Stillwater Chapter, the Montana FFA First Vice President, to Joe Lackman, the Montana FFA State President, Forsyth Chapter out of Hysham.
Yeah, certainly. So I had an amazing ag teacher growing up in my life. Her name is Miss Jan Banks, and she's someone who's always seen the positive side in myself. She's had to deal with me through quite a few classes of hers.
He says with a smirk on his face.
Yeah, exactly. You know, she's been pretty resilient in that. certainly. I grew up in an amazing atmosphere over in Forsyth, where I was provided with many opportunities due to my ag teacher. And also, I would admit, community as well. You know, the school staff there are very supportive in what we are doing as far as agriculture education. And it's something we're going back to Mrs. Banks. She was able to provide so many opportunities for me, and that's something that I think FFA can provide for our membership as well. You know, whether that's traveling across the state, competing at events, helping out with your supervised agriculture experiences. And, you know, these agriculture educators are the ones that truly make the difference in our members' lives. And I would certainly thank Mrs. Banks for everything she's done for me. You know, she's made a positive difference in my life, and I think agriculture educators do that as well.
We do appreciate our educators here as well. Josiah Cruikshank, again, National FFA Western Region Vice President. The future for many, as we look at it now, and again, as we see events internationally affecting things here locally, they're going to have a big effect on our production industry as well. Where do you draw your inspiration, your hope, your drive in an environment that we see nowadays where sometimes we focus on the conflict more than we do solutions at times?
Yeah, well, you asked about agricultural educators that mean a lot to us. And I think about my educators, Ms. Delaney, Ms. Brentano, Mr. Papke. But one agricultural educator that means a lot to me is my grandfather. His name was Mr. Burley when he was teaching. And when he was in college, he had just gotten his agricultural education degree. And that was when the draft for the Vietnam War was happening. And he talked to someone who was kind of involved in the draft process. And they told him that you can go serve our country in the military, but also there was an exemption made for agricultural educators because they realized you can also serve our country in one of the high schools that's preparing students for the future. And that was because our country realized that our agricultural industry is critical to our success as a country. And we prepare our agricultural industry by having quality agricultural educators available to us at all times. If you look around at the national news right now, we see what might seem like a similar situation to what my grandpa saw at that time. Yeah. And we realize that no matter what's going on internationally, that we need to focus on producing what we can to support our great nation as an agricultural industry. And as agricultural educators, we need to continue generating quality students who can join that industry in what I think is a really noble goal.
Yeah, very cool. I'm going to take a break and we'll come on back. We'll save a little bit of time here. That's Josiah Cruikshank from the FFA Western Region National Officer, Vice President there. Colton Young is with us, Stillwater Chapter, Joe Lackman as well. And we'll continue on here. It is From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana.
Bragging rights on performance begin and end on the rail. Remnants Angus is leading the industry back to the future with their extreme middle approach to genetic solutions. Cowherd performance built on structural soundness and disposition. Selling over 150 20-month-old bulls, over 70 head out of just two sires, making for large uniform groups at shipping with consistent carcass data. That's the Remnants Angus annual production sale, March 4th in Dillon. Catalogs available at remangus.com. Remnants Angus, a measurable difference in the Angus breed.
Always run so fast. Tom Schultz alongside. Thank you for being here. Want to give a shout out to Jim Rowe, State FFA Advisor, who's in here. And then Ben Myers as well, the State Relations Specialist with the National FFA. Good job, gentlemen. And Josiah Cruikshank is with us. Also in studio, Colton Young and Joe Lackman. Before I run out of time, Josiah, I'm just going to hand it over to you. National FFA Week. What are the opportunities there? What does that mean to you?
Yeah, National FFA Week is something that we've been doing in FFA for a really long time. It always falls the week of George Washington's birthday. He means a lot to our organization. We have the emblem of Washington at our treasurer's station. It's an opportunity for FFA members to celebrate for 7 days what we do all 365 days of the year and to celebrate the progress that we're making. And our six national officers are visiting 12 different states. But I'm really excited that I got chosen to visit the state of Montana because historically, the state of Montana has a lot of involvement with the creation of FFA Week. And I actually want to kick it over to our state officers to talk about how FFA Week came to be.
Joe Lackman.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool fun fact, actually. In 1933, we had a delegate member from Montana actually put forward business that created the National FFA Day. And from there, it went on for a couple years, and it actually evolved into what we call National FFA Week. So we're pretty excited for what we were able to share during this week. You know, we're able to celebrate what FFA has to offer, but also also highlights the opportunities that it could provide as well. So when we're including about our membership, members across the state are able to present what they are doing currently right in this day. And we have a couple social media challenges going along, put on by our state officer team and also at the national FFA level too. So this is something where FFA members are personally able to advocate what they're doing in the moment and how FFA has truly made a difference in their lives.
Colton Young, go ahead. What does it mean to you, National FFA Week?
Yeah, National FFA Week is one of the highlights of my year. Like Josiah said earlier, it's an entire week to spotlight and to celebrate what we do year round. And it's just really amazing, especially nowadays with all of the social media and things that we have, all the power that we have and technology. It's really cool to see when you go onto those social media apps, the flood of FFA jackets in that blue and gold and blue and yellow that we see on social media, and to really see those members spotlighting their SAEs, their friends' SAEs, and just their chapters and everything that they do for FFA, to really see all of that that we do for not only our state, but for our country as well.
Nice. Just wrap it up for us, Josiah. Only got maybe, it looks like about a minute plus here, but National FFA Week going on, your trips around the country. We kind of talked about your takeaway there. What was your concluding thoughts here for us?
Yeah, it's been a privilege to visit the great state of Montana for FFA Week. We've been able to go from Missoula to Bozeman and Belgrade and over here to Billings and then to Park City. And it's a privilege to work with the eight state officers as we engage FFA members. We're going to go right after this to an engagement opportunity where we're going to have over 300 FFA members in a room together. We're going to talk about being contributors to the community around us instead of consumers.
Give me the 20-second pitch for people who are not FFA members.
Yes. National FFA helps students with premier leadership, personal growth, and career success. It makes a positive difference in their lives through agricultural education, and it helps them be connected with like-minded people who believe the same thing that we all believe in this organization.
Y'all did such a good job. Gosh, you didn't need me today.
Yeah. Thank you for having us.
Thank you, guys. That's Josiah. Also, we've got them all in Sydney, Danny, Colton, and Joe. Give a shout out. Hey.
Hey.
All right. We'll see you guys.